We turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We read the first two verses of the chapter. The passage before us as we study this letter of Paul's in our morning service. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Paul is explaining here in the second half of Ephesians how believers are to live. In the weeks to come, we're going to see how he gives some very practical, down-to-earth instructions about different relationships in our lives and different duties that we have as Christians. And underneath all these instructions, there is doctrine. We are to obey intelligently because we understand the truth that we're living out. For example, he's just been showing us at the end of chapter 4 how we are to forgive others. That's our Christian duty. It's an obligation on us to forgive those who hurt us, injure us, or harm us in some way. And we're to do that because we have been forgiven. Because God in Christ has forgiven us. We've sinned against him in many ways. We've broken his law many times. We've grieved him and we've disappointed him. But again and again and again, God in his mercy forgives us. And so says Paul, we are to show the same sort of mercy and forgiveness to those around us. And as he's thinking about this, it leads him to pause in these instructions. He's going to go on in the next section, which we look at, God willing, next week, to sexual morality. How we are to behave as sexual beings. But at this point, he pauses. And he gives us a most beautiful and wonderful summary of what the Christian life is all about in four words. This is the mark of a teacher of genius. He's able to concentrate in a simple, memorable phrase so much that we need to know and understand. One commentator calls this verse Christian ethics in a nutshell. Be imitators of God. That's what we want to think about this morning. Be imitators of God. We're going to look at it in these first two verses of chapter 5. I want to look first at the goal which we're to aim at, and then at two encouraging motives which Paul gives us to help us to aim at the goal. First of all, be imitators of God. Now to us, an imitation is not really a good thing. Imitation gold is not as good as real gold. If we say something is only an imitation, there's a sense of unreality, of cheapness, of something that's really not quite right about it. And so we might misunderstand this phrase, be imitators of God. It might lead us to think of an impersonator. You sometimes see them as a sort of a comic turn or an entertainment act. Someone will copy the mannerisms and the voice of a famous person, and they will imitate them for our amusement. Sometimes the imitation can be very clever. It will be really like the person, and we laugh at it. But we laugh at it because it's not real. Because it's a clever imitation. Now that's not at all what Paul is saying here. There's no such idea coming in. There's no idea of anything fake or phony or deceptive. What he's saying is we are to copy God. We are to mimic God. Just as I could put this sheet of typescript in the photocopier in the church office and the copier would give me a copy of what is here, so we in our lives are to be God-like. We are to imitate God. And this is a profound, glorious, thrilling statement. Here is the Christian ideal. Here's what Christianity is all about. Here's what you and I are to be and to do in the world. Paul isn't saying just live up to your full potential as a human being. He's not saying model yourself on the greatest and best of men and women. Christianity isn't just getting a set of rules and obeying those rules in a rigid, mechanical fashion. It's far greater and more wonderful than that. Be imitators of God. That's what human beings are meant to be. And isn't that the tragedy of the lives of so many people living around us? People we talk to, work with, have relations with every day. What are they living for? Why are they here on earth? What's their goal in life? Their purpose? Isn't it that of the rich fool in the parable? Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. People live for the moment. They live for what is physical and material. They live for pleasure. They live for ease. They live for things. They live for money. They live for reputation. They live really as superior animals. It's degrading. It's reductionist. Human beings are not living to their potential. They're not living for something noble. They don't dream dreams. They don't see visions. They have no exalting ambitions. There's nothing high in their lives. There's nothing challenging. There's no idealism. There's no cause for which they're living. They're just trudging through life for the pay packet and the weekend and the holiday. And that's it. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. There's nothing truly satisfying. There's nothing really worthwhile. How different it is for the Christian. Be imitators of God. We're to set our eyes on that great Holy Spirit, and it is to be our aim in all of our lives to say what God would say, to do what God would do, to act as God would act. It takes us back, doesn't it, to the beginning of the Bible, to creation, to Genesis 1. When God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. He made man and woman to be imitators of himself, to be images, likenesses of himself. That's who and what we're meant to be. And when we are seeking to imitate God in the world, we're truly fulfilled. We're truly satisfied. We say this is what being human is all about. Now, what does Paul mean when he says, be imitators of God? Because there are many ways in which we can't imitate God. God is all powerful. We are not all powerful. We're very weak in many ways. God knows everything. We don't know everything. We know very little. God is present everywhere. There's nowhere in the universe that God is not. And we, each one of us, are fixed to one little piece of ground that we happen to be standing on at the present. We're not omnipotent. We're not omnipresent. We're not omniscient. We're none of these things. And in fact, for human beings to attempt to imitate God in any of these ways is sinful. It's disastrous. It's the road that leads to ruin. What was wrong with Adam and Eve was they wanted to be like God in a wrong sense. No, Paul is speaking here of God's moral qualities. God forgives, and we're to be forgiving. God is good and righteous. We're to be good and righteous. God is patient. God is faithful. Be imitators of God. And especially, and look how Paul describes it, walk in love. Be imitators of God and walk in love. He means here, day by day, every moment of your lives, in every circumstance, live and act in an atmosphere of love. This is where Paul lays the stress. For as we know, God is love. And whenever we are loving, we are godlike. John puts it this way in 1 John 4:7. Whoever loves God has been born of God and knows God. Here then is perhaps the ultimate test of godlikeness. Are you a loving person? Do you manifest the love of God? Does it radiate from you? Not only in your homes, although often that is where we fail, but out in business, at work, in the community. Walk in love. Speak words of love. Give actions of love. Show love in everything you're doing. It's a searching calling, isn't it? We're to live an extraordinary sort of life here in this world. Self-centered. Ugly at times. Stressful. Violent. We're to be different. We're to be altogether different people. Obviously different. Perplexingly different. Clearly different. So that people look at us and they can't figure us out. They can't understand us. There's something about us that is just qualitatively different. We're living, we're walking, we're behaving in an atmosphere of love. And you and I are called to live like this tomorrow, as you go to work, as you go out into the world, walk in love. Is that how we're recognized? Is that the first thing that people would say about you or me? They're a very loving person. They're obviously loving. This is our goal. It's simple. It's simple. Be imitators of God and walk in love. But it's also challenging. And so Paul, wise pastor that he is, gives us two encouragements to help us to reach for this goal and to think that it is a possibility. The first is in ourselves, and the second is in the Lord Jesus. So the first encouragement is this: be imitators of God as beloved children. As beloved children. It's all very well, we might say, for us to be told that we have to imitate God, but how can I imitate God? Well, says Paul, there's one fact that you've got to remember. You're a changed person. You're a changed person. You're not who you once were. You've been born again. By nature, we could never imitate God. We could never attain God-likeness. But we are new people if we're Christians. We have a new life inside us. Peter describes it as being partakers of the divine nature. And because that is the case, it's natural for us to be like God. It's inevitable for us to be like God. There is something in us that is like God. And that's who we are. And that's an enormous encouragement. We're new people. We're changed. We're born again. And we can be like God because we're His children. And children resemble their parents. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's a bad thing. It's a painful thing to see some of your faults being reproduced exactly in your children. And you think to yourself, where did they get that from? And you don't have to think very long. You know where they got it from. Children resemble their parents, for good or for ill. And we will resemble our Father. You remember how our Lord spoke of those who would not believe. In John 8:44, He said, "You are of your father, the devil. And your will is to do your father's desires." And so those who are children of the devil will do the desires of the devil. That's what they will want to do. Those who are children of God will resemble their father, and they will do their father's desires, and they will want to do it. They will say with the psalmist and with the Savior, "To do thy will I take delight." We're not only children, but says Paul, we're beloved children. We're beloved. Our relationship with our Heavenly Father is not cold. It is not mechanical. It is a whole world of warmth and love. Think, those of you who are parents, think how you love your children. And then multiply that by infinity. That's how God loves us. Our love for our children or grandchildren is but a faint echo of the intense, warm, passionate, caring love that God has for each one of His children. He loves us. And we need to keep reminding ourselves of that. And realizing that I am the beloved child of my Father. That He looks on me and loves me with His whole heart. And in return, we love Him. And like little children, we want nothing more than to please Him. And to be like Him. Each day we're to remind ourselves, I'm the beloved child of God. He loves me. He's put His life in me and His nature in me. And my calling is to live like Him in the world. And we bear our Father's name. The honor of God is at stake in us. Walk and be imitators of God. Walk in love. Why? How? As beloved children. It should be natural to us. It is natural to us if we're born again. Then Paul gives a second encouragement. And this is not in ourselves. This is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk in love as Christ loved us. We're not the first to walk in love. The Lord Jesus walked in love during his 30 years on earth. Here is the pattern whom we are pledged to follow. He loved us. And everything he did was done in love. And through and for love. And for those years in Palestine, the love of God walked on the earth. And the love of God was seen and heard. And the love of God touched lepers and healed the brokenhearted and the blind and the lame and the crippled. And the love of God gave life to the dead. And the love of God preached the mercy of God. And Christ was in himself the very love of God in human form. And his love, says Paul, led him to doing. He loved us and gave himself for us. He poured himself out in sacrifice. He went to the cross for us. So we are to follow in his footsteps. We're to give ourselves in love. We're to live the life of the cross, a crucified life from day to day, giving ourselves to others. There's nothing more God-like than this. And note the pronoun. He loved us. And he gave himself up for us. In all our unworthiness, in all our unlovableness, in all our disobedience, in all the uncleanness of our sin, he loved us. He loved us. And my dear friends, there's nothing more godlike than in loving unlovable people. Nothing more godlike than in loving unlovable people. Walk in love as Christ loved us. You remember the words of our Lord in Luke 6:35. Love your enemies. Do good. Lend. Expecting nothing in return. And you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and to the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. How searching those words. How challenging for each of us. Love your enemies. Do good, expecting nothing in return. Don't complain. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't start saying, look what I've done for them. And no, expecting nothing in return. For your Father in heaven is kind to the ungrateful. And he's kind to the evil. He's full of mercy. This is a huge challenge. Be imitators of God. Live as Jesus Christ lived. And friends, that's not easy. In 1 John 3:16, we're told, by this we know love. that He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. And then Paul adds one final motivation. Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You remember how in John chapter 12 we read of Mary coming and pouring out a flask of ointment and anointing Jesus. And as the ointment was poured forth, we read in verse 3 of that chapter, the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. It's the same Greek word that Paul uses here. A fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. It's almost as if the life of Jesus fills heaven with fragrance, with sweetness, with that which is pleasing to God. That's how you and I are to live. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk, live in love. Yes, towards the ungrateful, towards the evil. Even as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering. And a sacrifice to God. Amen. Let us bow in prayer. Help us, Lord God, to take Your word to heart. We know that by ourselves we are inadequate. Our reserves of love are so quickly and easily exhausted. And yet You have placed Your life within us. We have been born again and we are Your children, partakers of Your nature, and You are love. So we pray, O God, that today and tomorrow and throughout this week, we will seek to be like You, to live in the world as God-like men and women, in every way open to us, but particularly in love, a love which is willing to pay the price, to go the third and fourth mile, not to count the cost, but to pour ourselves out for people who can be ungrateful, or sometimes evil. And we thank You, Lord, that as we do so, we are bringing glory to You, and our lives are fragrant before You. So help us, we pray. Deliver us from our self-centeredness and grant us the Spirit of Christ. For we ask it in His name. Amen.